keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario on stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams. We pursue it.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here with host LaVon, joined by a couple of guests tonight. Two ladies. The first being my return guest, Simone Blaze. She is the author of the Indigo Child Survival Guide, as well as a Reiki healer and many, many other things. Also, new to the show this evening is my good friend Raven. Raven is a very talented artist, very down-to-earth, loving spirit. So go ahead and say hi, ladies.
Hello.
So we are taking calls tonight, you guys. It's very exciting. So make sure that you call into the show. We'd love to hear from you. Forgive me for not knowing the number by heart. I'll tell you it in just a moment. It is 71717. I'm sorry. Hello. Having technical issues tonight. Was having problems with my computer loading earlier, so bear with me if I'm cutting out, okay? I'll repeat that I am able to take calls tonight. And we would love to hear from you guys. The number is 1-718-717-8296. So, call in and join our discussion. Not only because I enjoy the topic and I think it's very important, but in observance of Valentine's Day, we want to discuss sex, love, and intimacy this evening. So we would love to take some calls and get some opinions thrown around, as well as, you know, your personal feelings. Simone, I know you had some important topics. Would you like to start off the discussion tonight?
First of all, I want to say I think that Valentine's Day is overrated and a little bit commercialized, unfortunately. And
definitely.
And so I personally, I'm not a big gift person. And, you know, like just for example, for my daughter, I wrote like 32 of those little Valentine's notes because I wanted not to have any kid be left out. So, and it's a lot of work. But on the other thing, on the other hand, I think it's also a good day because everyone is thinking about love and also lack of love because if someone is not in a relationship, this is a hard day, just like the holidays around Christmas, that a lot of loneliness comes up just, because of the meaning that society has given this day. Would you agree?
I definitely agree. And I experienced this today. You know, I had a lot of patients come into my office and I gave them Valentines, and on them they said, share the love. And it was for a free visit for their loved ones. And a lot of them were like, aw, this is the only love I have for getting today. And I would say half of the people were just like, this is the worst day ever. I don't have a partner. I don't have anything to do. And we actually had this same discussion about how it's just so commercialized. And every day you should share love. You know, it shouldn't just be one day of the year.
Yeah, exactly. My friend Jason and I, last year decided to do something different. We created an event called the Love Revolution. And we made little love notes with saying things like, I love you. You don't know me, but I love you. Because of you, I exist. Or other like very, very inspirational notes about let the love inside and other things like that. And I created a Facebook page out of this, and I spread it in different groups and invited other people on that same day to make little love notes wherever they are and just hand them out to complete strangers on the street. And we did that, you know. We went downtown Burlington and we just gave those love notes to people saying we're just handing out, you know, love notes. Please pass it on, you know, spreading the love. And the smiles and that you get from people and how amazed they were and so happy. And some people said, oh, I'm going to bring this home to my loved one and this is exciting, or they pass it on to other strangers. And it was just the energy, the vibration of it. It really felt like we had this ripple effect. And I want to do this again once it's warmer, because it's, you know, like, and you can do that actually every day. You don't need to do it on a special day. But what I thought was, you know, because the reason why I wanted to do it on one day and do it all over is because then combined, the network just spreads it really wide on the same day, and the combined energy of people spreading the love on the same day at the same time. So
I'm part of a network that kind of has a similar idea, except we utilize meditation. We have global wide meditations, and same idea, you know, we want to be simultaneous in a bunch of different places.
And it's the same idea, but what I'm saying is that a lot of people that are not meditating, for example, they're not part of this, you know, but by handing out those notes, you're spreading the love. You're giving them energy without them even realizing it. You know, you're spreading the love to them. Just centering their hearts.
Everything is energy. Would you agree, Raven?
Anything you do, say.
I mean, you're an artist. Like, do you feel like you interpret the energy and, like, make it visual?
Yes. If I'm, like, mad and I've got mad energy coming from me, then the thing that I draw seems to be mad. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm more peaceful, then it seems peaceful, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So we can, you know, apply that on every level. And kind of using that as a segue into our next topic, there are so many different types of quote-unquote love or affection or admiration, adoration, whatever, all these things we use to describe this feeling. There are different levels of it, right? Different types of love. So,
yep. Well,
go ahead.
Well, there's romantic love that most people associate with kind of love, you know. I think that's a very conditional kind of love, the same as with the, erotic or passionate and intense kind of love. But then there's also family love. Friends and family, that you just connect with. But I have a couple of friends that I consider soul family because I have a deep affection for them, a tender kind of platonic love.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even describe it, you know, but it's not conditional and it's not romantic and it's not desire, but it's just, you're feeling like you're on the same wavelength with some people.
Yes.
You're on the same level of frequency and you're just connecting well and you're supporting each other with, for example, with your life purpose or just a mutual understanding on a different level.
I could say that Raven and I have that experience currently in our lives.
It's kind of like in a past life, we were family or friends.
There's like that unspoken deep comfort. You don't even need to talk. You're just like, we love to be.
Around each other, right?
Yeah. We just love to be. It's interesting because our other halves are the same way. You know, they call each other boyfriends.
And we're girlfriends.
Like, we're just all, like, in love. We're all in love. You know what I mean? We're all really good friends. And it works out.
I'm very lucky that I have a very good circle of friends around here that I feel close to, and my whole family is in Germany, so I consider them my soul family. So they're, you know, they're not family by blood, but due to, I know that I completely can count on them we rely on each other and we support each other in many ways and just like to be around each other.
And there's
long-distance friends like that, too.
Yeah, definitely. There's those people that are, like, constant in your life, right?
And no matter what you do.
And they always seem to come up when you need them most, and you guys, like, never have to... There's never an awkward moment. It's continuous.
Yep.
I love those kind of relationships. And the older I get, I realize how important they are.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, who matters.
Absolutely, I completely agree. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while to get to that level, it's not the people that are staying longest in your life. Well, it's the ones that you just, you know, people come into your life for a reason, and they, you know, you have a connection for a while, but then there's some that you know you will probably be connected for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or just that the impact that they have on your heart or soul, that it's just like an imprint that they leave with the impression that they made by just, you know, the love that you shared, even if it's just friend. I'm not talking about relationships. But I also wanted to talk about a little bit about love for self or soul intimacy or intimacy with self.
One of my favorite topics. Please do.
So I'll start, and you two can then jump in, because I've realized that a lot of people are struggling with finding love outside of themselves because they do not have enough respect or connection with the love for themselves within. And just, you know, expecting to be loved in the way they are, but just not feeling so insecure within themselves that they are not able to attract the right person to be in a relationship with. And I wanted to say there, I found a really good way to feel, we all have our insecurities. I mean, you know, of course, you know, am I beautiful enough? What are other people thinking about what I'm doing? And stuff like that. But what I found would help me the most to connect with self and to love myself more is to dance.
I definitely feel sexier when I'm dancing.
There's an act called Soul Motion.
Soul Motion. And,
it's a meditation kind of dance where you actually, you know, it's an improvisational kind of dance, but it's helping you to go inside through movement, through dance movement. You're dancing with self, which the founder is Vin Marti, and there's dance intimate or dance in community, like dancing with other, but without expectation of, like, you know, for example, when you're dancing with a partner and suddenly the partner moves on, not taking it personally, you know, it's almost when you're then dancing with the other person, it's a flow that you go into, which is almost energetic and kinesthetic, and then you flow out of this. But without judgment and just go moving on without, you know, knowing that it's not personal, that this other person just wants to do, be by themselves or move on to another person. So it's almost like a lesson in life when you're doing that kind of workshop. And I found that very helpful to interconnect, but also to connect with self doing that kind of dance meditation. And there's different kinds of practices that do that. But anyway, that's something that helped me to connect with myself. And I'm still, you know, feeling insecure on some levels. I think we all do, but it's important to realize that we have the power within us by loving ourselves, by focusing on love and even attracting divine love, you know, not necessarily human love, but divine love within ourselves.
I couldn't agree more. But
yeah.
Someone mentioned this in the chat, and this is actually one of my strongest beliefs in regards to sex specifically, and self-love, is that if you don't have it, you can't share it. I think that's true for every avenue of our life. And I think in our society, and I've been a strong proponent or a strong supporter of sex since high school. I remember I was in journalism, and not that I was doing it. It just the fact that I thought that the way it was treated in our society, and especially as a young sexual person, or, you know, desiring to be sexual and feeling very unsure about what was acceptable in how to proceed, you know, as a coming into adulthood with sex, because I was confused not only by the media, because they're telling me I should be sexy, right? But everybody else is telling me it's wrong to be sexual. So where's the blur?
So is that, like, you mean like as a, being sexy as a woman is wrong, or being sexy as a young girl because it sends the wrong message towards guys that you're available, easy?
Yes, of course. I know that now, you know, as a woman, but as a young girl, everything that was, every woman I saw, every woman that was portrayed to me,
put lipstick on,
yeah,
had makeup on,
you gotta do your
dresses,
hair, you gotta, heels. You know what I mean? I feel like there's this ridiculous standard. And it may be different now, you know, that was, I don't know how many years ago, but I felt that we didn't speak enough about self-love, especially masturbation. Like, I wish my parents would have been like, hey, girlfriend, so you've got this little thing, right? And if you pretend you're a DJ, something magical happens. Like, there should be a candid talk. We should teach our kids, and it should be okay. They should know what their body does. They should know how to make it feel good, and they should be okay and comfortable with doing it. Because imagine if you are loving yourself, are you going to go look for that person to fulfill a void within you when you can, yes, you can fill it yourself? And I think that's what it is. I think, like, you know, reflecting back as a young, you know, excited person, I was longing for a partner because my body was telling me, hey, you need to make a baby. Put a baby in my uterus right now. That's confusing. Like, you know, you got these feelings, but you're not ready for that type of commitment. But
so you didn't have
I was more proficient at handling business.
Yeah.
Saying, this is something we need to talk about.
They had a, last semester, I work at a college, an event called I Heart Female Orgasm. And, I went to that just for the heck of it, and I thought it was absolutely amazing because the speakers, they didn't only speak about female orgasm, but there were also guys that showed up, which completely amazed me. Yeah, but I'm sure they just came there because they thought they're going to get laid, showing their, you know, respect.
Right.
But what they were talking about, they also separated at one point, you know, women and men and transgender and gay, you know, they had different concentration groups, so to say. And so there were just women in one room, and they asked, so tell us about your first experiences with orgasms. And I guess there were, you know, like a couple of people that said they had their first experience with an orgasm in school under the, you know, the desk, or that their, you know, their brother caught them or told, or like a sibling, you know, told them how to do it, or the parents encouraged them to do a good job or whatever, not judging them. So, you know, it's definitely out there. And I think, I don't know what it is with the culture that we have to hide, you know, why we can't openly talk about sexuality. And what really, like, what I find very sad is it's so bad that they are putting black blocks over nature's African tribes, women's breasts.
Ugh.
You know, I mean, that's just so wrong. What, I mean, why would they do that? They don't even think about it as sexual. And then there's also the sexualization of the female breast with breastfeeding, you know, about people saying, well, this is too sexual when a woman is breastfeeding in public.
I'm sorry that I'm sexy.
Did you guys see that?
Sorry, I'm going to hide, you know, but my baby has to eat, you know.
Right.
But I think there is an issue, and I'm hoping that it's shifting a little bit, but I also feel maybe it's a little more conservative in the United States than it is in Europe. I mean, I have lived here now for 14 years, but in Germany, I mean, you know, there's people go to the swimming pool topless and no one, you know, if they wanted to.
Have you seen that article about how Victoria's Secret is banning women from breastfeeding their babies in their stores?
What?
It's just wrong. But then they have all these bras.
Right. There's the contradiction.
Yeah.
There's the contradiction of.
Will they blur out the nipples so it doesn't count? Yeah.
But it's, I think, you know, there's places, including the college that I work at, that they have breastfeeding rooms. And I don't see why a big store like that cannot designate an area where women, if they wanted to, could breastfeed. That would be supportive of the female body and motherhood, I think.
Can I tell you that breastfeeding is something that I'm working on? I'm actually writing an article right now, and I'm compiling lots of pictures demonstrating how beautiful it is to breastfeed your baby. So look forward to that. And I know it, and realistically, when the child gets to a certain age, they don't want to be covered. They're so curious about what's going on in the world. They want to eat and they want to show. So that cover is coming off regardless. So whoever's around is going to see a breast. And, you know, if it makes them uncomfortable, that's their problem.
I have taken a few years ago, I think we're getting off topic a little
totally.
Bit of the sex, but I can connect you with an anthropology professor on that topic. She's done some research on that topic
awesome.
That you should connect with. But let's go back to love, sex, and intimacy.
You know, that's how we go. A little random discussions. It's good.
Yeah.
It's organic. Organic. Okay. So my point was that we should be more open to discussing sex and self-love.
And your body and what
and
happens.
Your body and, you know, how it actually works. And, you know, perhaps we would see a change, a ripple effect throughout society. You know, maybe there would be less, you know,
early teen pregnancy.
Yeah, maybe less pregnancies, maybe less children needing to be adopted, or, you know, whatever the situation. I'm sure you could think of all the things that we could do if we were just a little more comfortable.
But didn't you know we need that 15 and pregnant show?
Yeah, what would we do?
There's also, so there needs to be a little bit more open discussion with, you know, like within families, but also in schools or among friends without feeling ashamed about it.
You know,
but I also feel that a big issue is body image. and not, I think it's not only women, it's men too. And there's, you know, I saw this sticker. It says, reflection, warning, reflections in this mirror may be distorted by socially constructed ideas of beauty.
Yes, that's awesome.
So I see that a lot, and I think we're all affected by it in some way or the other. Women probably more than men, but I know men are affected by it as well. They just don't talk about it as much, and I think there's more pressure on us women with a body image, which ties again into, you know, the sexuality and feeling comfortable in being sexual as a woman.
There was an artist for American Apparel who did a graphic t-shirt. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it was basically the vagina with blood menstruating and pretty much playing with its clit. And that was printed on a shirt and then taken down, not few minutes later, because people were offended by it.
That's crazy. Like, I've seen some images about, I think it's an exhibit about artwork representing the clitoris and how, what a beauty it is, and also some research behind it. And I thought it was amazing. It was amazing. I didn't, you know, I learned a lot, and just, you
the
know.
The clitoris is amazing.
Just bringing awareness to that. And I mentioned to LaVon earlier this week, there is a website. Don't ask me. I think a friend told me about it. It's called Orgasmic Meditation. And it's actually founded by women, and it's focusing on how a man can help a woman to come to orgasm without actually having sexual intercourse. It's more with hand and stimulating the clitoris, and how to do it in a way that, you know, works best, and just paying attention to,
and I think we should take a moment to discuss the different, I encounter this a lot where men, I don't think they truly understand our sensation in comparison to their sensation, because I've talked to a lot of people about this, especially men. You know, what does it feel like when I touch you here? Or what, you know, where does it feel good for you? I mean, the most intriguing part to me, being a fan of bodies and working in the medical field, is that in utero, we all start out as the same gender, right? Then the extra gene kicks in, and the same material, you know, what was a vagina becomes a penis. So there's all the same stuff, just inverted and put in different places. You know, like the labia of a woman is what becomes the scrotum of a man. The clitoris is actually like a teeny tiny, teeny tiny little penis, but like a million times more sensitive, you know?
And it, in that you know, workshop, I Heart Female Orgasm, they said it takes actually a woman, in average, 20 minutes to reach orgasm. 12 to 20 minutes, I guess. Or it takes a man 12 minutes and a woman about 20 minutes to reach complete orgasm.
It's because we're all in our heads.
Right? It's very,
it's a mental thing.
It's a mental. Sex is very mental.
I think it's like in stages that it comes, you know, for women. It
builds.
It builds. And I think there needs to be an emotional level involved in it to reach that level of intimacy to get to that point, even with intimacy with self. I think there was a test. I watched a show about, I think it was on the History Channel, about the history of sex or something, and they did a CT scan on a woman where she was thinking about sex and having, and she was raising her hand whenever she had an orgasm, and they would just measure her brain activity during that time.
Which reminds me that an average orgasm for a woman is like 30 seconds long. Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome. Plus, you can have multiple.
And you can do it over and over and over.
Faster than a man. Men can go.
Some men can do it.
So I think, as a premise, I think I would like to also discuss with you guys, what do you think about different levels of intimacy? How would you describe, you know, intimacy?
I think intimacy is whenever you're vulnerable in any way with another person. Anytime you show them an aspect of you.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
You act different towards other people, you know, a teacher, like, you're one way.
Yeah, when you just, when you let down your guard, though, you can have an intimate moment with anybody. It doesn't always have to be sexual.
Yeah.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
Like, I feel like I have a lot of intimate moments with my patients because we're in such close contact. We're touching, you know, we're touching each other. We're doing hands-on, like, body work.
I think when it gets to the point of touching, like, handshakes or hugs, anything like
that. It's a different level.
It's a different level.
Because you're having, like, a whole other, like, energetic connection.
Yeah. You can have, I feel you can have intimacies not only through touch, but also through words. And
for sure.
With the, I think it's, intimacy is a lot about, you, as you said, with
my
the vulnerability.
Sex is my openness, sex.
Yeah, openness and vulnerability is definitely a factor for intimacy. You know, like you're letting your walls down and not wearing any kind of mask or hiding your, or protecting your heart or, you know, trying to portray someone that you are in the outside world. It's a deeper connection. And there's this image that I found and I've come across a lot. It says, it's about, you know, intimate connections. It says, pay attention to whom you share your intimate energy with. Intimacy at this level intertwines your oral energy with the oral energy of the other person. These powerful connections, regardless of how insignificant you think they are, leave spiritual debris, particularly when within people who do not practice any type of cleansing, physical, emotional, or otherwise. The more you interact intimately with someone, the deeper the connection, and the more of you, their aura is intertwined with yours. Imagine the confused aura of someone who sleeps with multiple people and carries around these multiple energies. What they may not realize is that others can feel that energy, which can repel positive energy and attract negative energy into your life. And this person then says, I always say never sleep with someone you wouldn't want to be. But this, I think there's a, she's, this person, whoever wrote this, is confusing, is mixing that up with a physical intimacy versus, I think it can happen on a personal energy level too, not only physical and, you know, intimacy. And, but she's mixing that up with multiple, you know, sleeping with multiple people, but I can completely see that, you know, that they carry like this energy debris of the people that they slept with around them, and other people sense that and it kind of repels. And I wonder if that's why people are all, you know, sometimes jumping from partner to partner. Do you think that's because they're not loving themselves enough?
Totally one of the reasons. I think people try to fill a void, you know? Like, I speak from a personal place. As a younger person, you know, I think that's what sex was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't being vulnerable. It was trying to fill a void. And I think it's different when you come into loving yourself. I'm not trying to make a joke with that word. Different kind of C word. You view intimacy on a whole other level. And it's different. You know, it's like you're a whole person having a really beautiful experience with another whole person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, gender aside, it doesn't have to be man, woman, man, whatever. It could be woman, woman, man, woman, whatever the situation. If you're having that super intimate connection because you love yourself and they love themselves, it's different.
But there are also those times I remember I was very intimate with somebody, was in a relationship, it was physical, and then they hurt me, and the relationships after that were just filling a void.
Exactly.
Because I wasn't loving myself.
Exactly.
Yeah, that can that very easily can happen, that we're kind of projecting that on future relationships, the past hurt.
I think that's part of healing, though, you know? Is you have to go through the motions, and I've been doing a lot of self-reflection, and that was part of my self-reflection, is realizing, like, what kind of people have I chosen to spend my time with? You know, and how did I, what situation led to those different encounters in, you know, types of relationships? It's very interesting, and you realize it all has to do with how you're feeling about yourself. And that is the main point of the show tonight, I think, is, oh, it looks like we're getting a call, you guys. Let's answer this call. Hi, good evening. You're on the Anti-Media Radio. What do you want to talk about? Tell us your name. Hello? Weird. Okay.
They can't be added.
Let me try this again.
It says boiler room can't be added.
It says can't be added until you accept my contact request. What does that mean?
Have to be added as a contact.
Weird. Sorry, guys, but the main point of the show tonight is that how you feel about yourself will be directly reflected in all aspects of your life. And tonight we just wanted to focus on the love and intimacy aspect, as well as how this day is represented in our society. So, you know, some people in the chat were like, what is the point of this? How to give ladies orgasms? No, guys.
No.
There's a lot of there's a lot. I mean, hey. If that's what you take away from it.
But well, there is a book that I can recommend if they wanted to. Like I said, you know, it's called I Heart Female Orgasm. It's actually a book, and the whole topic on that.
Hi, you're on with the Anti-Media Radio. What's your name, and what do you want to talk about?
My name is Jimmy, and I'm the host of Boiler Room Radio.
Hi,
I'm
Jimmy.
Hi, girls.
How are you?
I decided to call in. I just wanted to call in to make sure that I didn't screw up the phone lines. Nobody else was calling in, so I figured I would.
Oh, you're so awesome. And hey, guess what? I know how to take a call now. Yeah.
All right. I tried calling on UCY.TV, but it didn't work. It said internal error for some reason. But that's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I said I tried to call in on UCY.TV, but it gave me an internal error. I don't know why. At least I got through on the phone number, so it's working.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Hey, not a problem. It's an interesting conversation you girls are having tonight.
I'm sorry, what's that?
It's an interesting conversation you girls are having tonight.
Well, can we ask you some questions as a man?
Absolutely.
Hey.
I gotta tell you, I'm quite a bit older than y'all, so.
Hey, that's irrelevant, because I think that we're all sexual creatures.
That's a basic assumption.
Yeah, like I'm like a million years old.
Voices don't say anything about age.
Okay, go ahead, shoot.
So,
Oh, I got her.
How does the orgasm feel to you?
To me?
Yes.
Let's see. What can I compare it to? How about being a rock star on stage and the whole crowd screaming?
Okay.
You know, and you got that real jazzy high, or maybe how about the first time you were in a race and you won? You know, that feeling that you get, the elation that you get, it's kind of like that over and over and over. You know.
Does it last long?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on who you're with. I mean, if you're doing one of those one night stand, knock it out and go home things, maybe not. But if you're with somebody that you really care about and you're deeply committed to.
It's different, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's a third level.
I think it really depends on the level of intimacy and connection that you have with someone, how you experience it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you've got an internal connection with that person, it's going to be the most amazing experience, no matter where you're at or what you're, you know what I mean? But you can get that without even having sex with them. I mean, a really intelligent conversation that you're both deeply involved in. I mean, you can get that feeling with them, like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I said earlier that one of my favorite types of interaction is a good conversation. That to me is the most stimulating, even physically, because, you know, words have vibration. And when someone says the right word to me, I'm like, oh. okay, I gotta walk away.
And women are auditory creatures too. You know, they've done studies that say that the sexiest thing that you can say to a woman is her name. You know, if you really like the voice and you really like the guy, that all he's got to do is say your name the right way, and it's, you know, and men are more visual. That's why they have strip clubs.
So. That makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that. I'm glad you told me that.
You learn something new every
day,
man.
That's right. There are not many strip clubs for women out there. There's just Chippendales,
right. Chippendales, that's it. And those guys make some bank.
So we need to get a lot of men together with voices like you to make a lot of bedtime stories and just read us things. Could you just read us things? I mean, this could be a whole new niche for you.
Read things.
Yeah, you've got a nice voice. It's good.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a face for radio too. So
you should read 50 Shades of Grey.
I've never read that. I heard it's really.
I hear it's really sexy.
I don't know. We could do better. We could put together some original content. What do you think?
Original content. I'll have to read it, I think.
We'll see. But can I ask you, like, how do you believe that women are demonstrated throughout our media and culture? Like, as a man, what do you think, what's your instant thought? Like, do you judge a woman based on how she's dressed? Or, you know, are you concerned with what she has to say, or...
And tell the truth.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
if you like just the way they look, that's
or,
fine.
You know, I spend a lot of time with men, I understand, and even as a woman, women are nice to look at. They're pretty.
Well,
they've got
these
things.
But
they
I gotta tell you,
themselves.
No matter how beautiful a woman is on the outside, all it takes is for her to open her mouth, and it can make her the ugliest person on the planet. You know what I mean?
Completely agree.
Yeah.
If they're rock stupid, it doesn't matter how good looking they are. They're a complete turnoff. And then I've seen some fairly homely women that were just intelligent as hell, and it made them gorgeous. You know what I mean? So it all depends on the person that's looking at you.
I agree.
You know?
That's how I see people, too. I don't see the exterior. I really care about the love in the heart and the ideas they play with in their mind, you know, and their intentions.
Dad used to tell me? Let me pass on this little nugget of wisdom to you guys. See what you think. If you really want to know about a person, climb in their car and take a look around. Because the way they keep their vehicle is the way they keep their life. And you can pretty much match that up with anybody you know. Stop and think about it for a minute, and I bet you'll agree with me.
Huh, totally. That's very interesting.
But there's also,
you know,
those
are the things you pick up along the way when you're traveling the road of life. And you hang on to those, the ones that make sense to you and the ones that do you good, you hang on to them and try to pass them on to other people. That's one that stuck with me. Because it's always been true. You know, I look at my friends and then I look at their cars. And I'm like, wow, that really makes a lot of sense.
That's good.
So I try to keep my truck really nice.
It makes me want to detail my car now.
Yeah, get rid of that old hamburger.
I'd like to
check
that.
I have this car. Small kids, so.
I drive a Fiat, I don't count.
And somebody asked me, well, what if you drive a motorcycle? It's pretty easy to keep those clean, you know.
Or even a bike.
Yeah. Or if you walk. What if you walk? What if you don't have a car?
And you look at the shoes. You can look at people's shoes too. That tells you a lot too.
Yeah. But then again, you can't judge a people, you know, by what they wear. It's like judging a book. You know what I mean? Don't judge a book by its cover.
But then you can judge them by the car. I mean, what's inside the car? Or how that car looks?
Well, just how they keep it.
Yeah.
You know? Even if it's a Hyundai, you know, if it's a really flashy looking Hyundai, then, you know, if they're willing to take care of that Hyundai, then I imagine they keep their house clean and, you know, they got nice clothes on, or at least the clean clothes on. You know what I mean? It's all in the person and how they carry themselves. Some of the best people I've ever met in my life, other people would consider to be trash. Just to put a straight word on,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But they're the kind of people that would give you the shirt off their back, though, if you're in a dire situation.
Absolutely.
You know, they're the people that you can call at 3 a.m. and say, man, my car's stuck in a ditch. Will you come get me? Hell yeah, dude. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Where you at?
Absolutely.
So,
as a child, I befriended a lot of homeless people, like, I just because they were nice, you know.
I did too.
I didn't judge them because they lived outside or slept in under the bridge, and just whenever I saw them, we'd have a conversation, and they would help me with things. Like one time, my friend Dale helped me. Actually, funny that you mentioned a car. Change a tire and change the oil and put water in my radiator. I didn't know what to do. He's like, your car's overheating. Do you know anything about this?
No.
So, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that.
You know, showing love.
Yeah, it's just
an act of service.
And that's what we were trying to touch on earlier, is that it's all an energetic exchange. You know, mm-hmm. And I think you attract people to you, the ones that give you a necessary lesson. I think there's a bigger picture to the whole thing, you know, and if you're alone today, who cares? Enjoy that. You know, loneliness is a gift too.
They're with us.
Yeah.
If they're listening.
True.
How do you guys show love, and how do you prefer to be shown that you are loved?
Well, men are dogs. So, you know, I mean, if you're a fairly good looking woman and a guy opens a door for you, it's because he wants your pants. If they open your car door, it's because they want your pants. If they carry your groceries for you, it's because they want your pants. I mean, we are dogs when it comes down to it, because we're human. You know what I mean? But how do I show? I mean, I've grown up over the years quite drastically. So now, if you ask me how I show a woman love, or how I wish to be shown love, I wish to be appreciated as a human for who I am, and not what I have, not what kind of car I drive or what kind of job I have or how big my paycheck is, or, you know what I mean? I want to be appreciated as a human being.
Yes.
And,
someone who loves you show that appreciation, through words or actions? Or
it doesn't even have to be that. I mean, it can be a look across a room. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that connection. You got to be able to make that connection. And you know when you're being played. You know when somebody's just talking words when they don't mean them. You know, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Helping you. Thanks.
Right.
Or when they really appreciate you.
Fiction.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it can even come across in a text how much you're appreciated. It just depends on who's sending it and how they word it and whether or not you know they mean it.
Again, that's words have energy.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly right, because you can feel it across the planet.
Yes.
I agree. How about you, Levon and Raven?
Yes. I like to be acknowledged as an intellectual and perceived as a thinker and, you know.
My eyes are up here, fellas. My eyes are up here, right?
I'm just saying, but, you know, I struggle with this because apparently I'm sexy. And as a quote-unquote sexy woman, I'm objectified so often, and it offends me when people come up to me and they're like, hey, beautiful. I'm like, first of all, thank you, but my name is Levon. You know, it's just, I kind of have a problem with it.
Hang on a minute. As an older gentleman,
I
like being able to whistle at a girl and not have her take it the wrong way.
But sometimes,
you know what I mean?
sometimes it offends me because there's so much more to the way that I look. There's so much more, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And that, I struggle with that because that's the sensitive side to me though, you know? On the same token, as someone who appreciates the body, I get it.
Do you acknowledge that though, or do you always snap back at him with my name is LaVon, not sexy woman.
But I'm just saying, I'm always respectful when I respond, but it does kind of hurt my heart just a little.
And it's kind of creepy.
Especially if you're
14.
But if they're playful with it, if they come across with a nice energy, it's different. I just like to be, like you, I like to be acknowledged and appreciated for what I am. Because I'm a lot more than a body and titties and big eyes. Because, you know, there's
a
lot going on.
Rolling up and going, hey, nice ass chick, get in the truck.
Going on in here.
Have you ever whistled at a man or something or checked them out?
No.
No, I haven't.
But when I see a man running down the street, he's got a shirt off and he's exercising, I'm usually like, yeah, exercise.
Hey, we've all got Facebook here, I think, and we see the way you girls post pictures and the comments.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's how you want to be portrayed.
Right. And women are just as bad as men when it comes to that shit. I mean, because we've all seen the videotapes from inside Chippendales, and you all get some, I mean, you get your groove on, come on.
Right.
So, you know, it's not, I mean, it goes both ways.
What I think is that, we talked about it, an intelligent conversation can get you into bed with a woman you like more easily than just talking about her body or how sexy she is.
Unless she's a very, very shallow woman.
Yeah.
Correct? I mean, you know, again, it goes both ways. I've seen some real dunces, too. So, you know.
It's good to have a male perspective in this,
too. Totally. Thank you so much. What about you, Raven?
You're welcome.
Well, being a woman who hangs a lot with men, well, they were boys when we were in high school, you kind of see it from the women as well. A lot of the guys that I hung out with were the geeky, kind of stay in the corner by themselves kind of people. And just the things that you would hear these girls say to them that were, you know, trying to just get with them because they're like, oh, I want to get rid of my virginity or something like that.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've never seen it from that perspective.
A lot of shallow girls. A lot.
Well, I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier is the desire to fill a void. You know, it's how are you reflecting yourself? You know,
the drive that we, or the desire that comes up is instinctual, physical.
Definitely.
Like the physical sexual attraction that we are just talking about. I think that's just a different level of attraction that is experienced, you know, then it's just a different level. It's not worse or necessarily filling a void. I think it's just part of human evolution to reproduce, sort of, so to say, you know, that was the original purpose of this.
I think that there's such a disconnection. You know, we live in a very technical world. We don't even understand our digestive systems. You know, people don't understand the basic functions of their bodies, how much water they should be consuming, the ingredients in their food. You know, it seems like the most basic things or the things that we should be the most innately aware of are strange and they're contradicted. You know, I think a lot of people are confused.
Let me ask you a question, though, real quick.
Please.
As a woman, how do you guys, I mean, I'm not accusing anybody or asking anybody if they have, but after a one-night stand, how do you feel? You know, as a man, I'm going to be honest with you. I've only had a couple of them, one-night standers, and the next day I was like, why did I even do that? You know, what was the point? Because I really want to have if I'm going to have a physical connection with somebody, I want to have a mental connection with them too. And
it just doesn't
get it, you know what I mean? It doesn't get it.
You're always like, that was pointless because there was something missing.
Right.
And don't you feel
it's just the physical motions and you're missing that deep intimate connection. I read this article.
I don't think it's just about reproduction. You know what I mean? Maybe if it was in a dire circumstance, if you were like the last five humans on the planet, that might, you know, come into play, but I don't think it's just about reproduction.
Well, and it's weird, and I don't know if you girls have felt this, but when I had a one-night stand many, many days and years ago, it actually hurt physically to
yes.
have sex.
Yes, like the way what you're thinking will directly affect your ability to be involved in and enjoy sex. Like, it definitely affects the way it feels, and sometimes you feel a million sensations. And sometimes it just feels like pressure. Like, you don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting how that works. So, little...
I'm glad that goes both ways, too.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like that for men, you know.
I wonder if it's different for different women and men, too. Like, the experience of how they... And I mean, why are they... I mean, I feel why there's people out there that want to sleep around. And
what if they've never had that intimate encounter that we're both
exactly
and it's talking about?
In that sense, they're trying to fill that void,
trying
of,
to find
physical contact. I think that,
well, there's nymphomania too. There is a mania that goes with that.
I feel that I think I read somewhere that men are taught very early on that the only and the best way to experience intimacy is through physical contact, meaning intercourse. And that, you know, they don't just hug without having that sense of wanting more and that physical attraction and intercourse. Would you agree on that? Like, how the men are brought up not showing their emotions or feelings.
No, we were pretty physical in my household. You know, my dad would kiss us both, me and my sister, and, you know, my mom would kiss us both and hug us both. And so I was never, you know, it was never shied away from me. You know, my dad was like, oh, you're a man, stop crying. I mean, if it hurt, cry. If it
that's
hurt,
awesome.
Cry.
That's so great.
You're blessed. I've met a lot of people who have the kind of the opposite, you know, where they come from homes where their parents didn't hug them and, so the type of things we're talking about or make them very uncomfortable.
Oh, no. I enjoy being open because I like salient conversation. I like good, you know, I mean, you learn something new every day, or what's the day worth?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You're never gonna change your perspective if you don't change your world, you know?
Exactly.
So that brings up a good point. I hope our conversation tonight was stimulating and gave you a new perspective on the topic of love, sex, intimacy, and maybe you learned a few things about the woman's body. And if you were offended, I'm sorry. But not really. I'm happy for you. It's okay.
If you're offended, put your big boy panties on.
And your girl panties.
Or big girl panties. And, you know,
I think
go out and touch someone, maybe even you.
Yeah. And sex is a natural part of life, you know, and so is love and self-love.
It's all right. You got anything to say, Raven?
No.
Thanks, LaVon. I'll let you close out your show.
How should we close it out? Sex is bomb. Is that what you said?
I said, thanks for having me on. I'll let you close out your show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I appreciate you calling in. I'm glad to have the experience and as well as your perspective on the topic.
I appreciate you. I'll be listening every week.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Thank you for your input. I really enjoyed that. It was very good having
that
perspective.
And what? Just have a beautiful evening, okay? And enjoy
it. You too. You too. Thanks.
Bye. All right. Thank you, Simone.
Bye.
Bye.
Yo, here we go.